Hello again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote with David Collins. We'll be talking about a very interesting game today, a special game to me personally, but you may not have heard. It's a game I actually created myself and have just released. Pretty exciting, but I'll give you the full scoop in a moment. So, I thought, like I said, this is a bit of a special episode for me, and the reason, like I said, is because the game I'm going to talk about is actually my own game. I know, this is crazy. Where does it all start? Well, long time ago, actually. I think it's pretty safe to say that a lot of people, whether you're a fan of any media, whether it be movies or video games or music or whatever, it's not just, you don't just like consuming and like listening to or like playing or whatever. You start thinking, you know, what sort of game would I like to make, or what sort of, you know, music would I like to compose? Well, recently, I've just released a game recently. It is called Aljabalance. It is an It is actually, you know, for me, you'd think I'd be probably doing like a retro platform or something, and, you know, maybe I still might, but this is an actual educational game for 8 to 12 year olds to teach them the basics of algebra. kind of a fun concept, and I genuinely hope people get a better understanding from algebra from this. So, what's this all about, and how exactly did I come up creating this game? Well, to start off with, I think I'll play the intro music theme just to bring us all in. I'll talk a bit about this later on, but the person who composed this music was Claire Fitch, who I've actually had this on the show before. In fact, I think it was on the basis of me interviewing her previously as an Irish video game composer that actually gave me the idea for her composing the music for this game. So you can see about how all these little things, connections all help, and she honestly created some good music for this game. So I'll start you off with the theme of Aljabalance, which an iPad game, and of course it's by Claire Fitch. It's for the game Aljabalance by Wrongella, or largely me, and then I'll talk a bit more about the whole inception right afterwards. Okay, all right, have a listen. And that's the intro to Aljabalance. So I've given it some thought, and I decided, what exactly is the best way to start this? And I think it's by saying, well, what exactly is algebra? Well, you see, algebra is effectively the language of maths. It's basically how you express maths or express relationships or concepts or ideals. For instance, take a really, really simple example. You know, if the speed over time equals distance, speed times time equals distance. So in other words, if you're going at 1 mile an hour for an hour, you've basically gone 1 mile. It's all, basically, algebra is one of the ways you use to describe that idea, describe the idea that the faster you'll go, the more distance you'll cover in the same time. If you up the amount of time, you'll cover more distance. But if you decrease the amount of time, then you'll cover less distance. And the same sort of thing works with the speed. And then you can turn it around and say, well, how fast would I have to go in order to cover like 1 mile in 30 seconds and that sort of stuff. So you're dealing with a lot of unknown quantities, but you're understanding how each quantity relates to each other. And that's one of the cornerstones of maths, figuring out how various values relate to each other and how changing one value will affect a lot of other values. Now, it does seem a bit confusing, but like I said in my simple speed example, it can be broken down very simply, and it really depends on how complex you're going to get with it. But the question is, how do you keep track of all these relations? And the answer is algebra. The whole thing about algebra is about dealing with unknown quantities, about values that might change, but you're still trying to say, well, I don't know how fast the car is going, and I don't know how much distance it's traveling, and I might know... And I don't know how long it'll be traveling that speed for, but if I have at least two of those values, I'll be able to work out the third one. And algebra helps you understand the relationship between all these concepts so that you can actually understand that concept and be able to adjust no matter what the actual values are. So going back to this... In school, what normally happens is, you know, you're thrown a bunch of symbols and said X equals or X and Y and equals and all this sort of stuff. And basically they're told, okay, you have to like change it so that like X is the subject of the formula. So the X is on the left and you have to see what X equals. And you have to move around these whole things. And of course, there's various different operations. Now, one thing I've realized when I was doing this is that for me, I managed to imagine something in my head that suddenly made sense. To me, it was like an algebra was basically a balance, like a seesaw, that you basically had the equal sign in the middle, and that was like the pivot, and then you had a bunch of values on one side and a bunch of values on the other, and they're currently balanced. But as the questions ask you, you need to change these values to figure out, you know, what the value, what part one of these items is. So it's like, imagine you've got like... a seesaw balance, and like maybe you've got a bunch of bowling, you know, you've got some bowling balls on one side and the other, and some footballs and some baseballs, and you know that all the bowling balls weigh the same, and all the baseballs weigh the same as the other baseballs, and all the footballs weigh the other thing, but they all weigh different weights, so you're trying to rearrange them, you're trying to keep the thing balanced and figure out, okay, how many football, if you've got one bowling ball, how many does it weigh in terms of footballs and baseballs and stuff. It's the whole thing is about with algebra is that, you know, it's got to keep balanced. If you take something away from one side of the equation or one side of the balance, you've got to make sure you take away the same weight or an equivalent weight from the other side. If you end up taking £2 off one side, you have to take £2 off the other side, and the opposite. If you put £2 on one side, you have to put £2 on the other side. And the interesting thing is, if you absolutely half the weight on one side, you also have to half the weight on the other side. It's all about keeping it balanced, making sure the operations are equivalent, and realizing that if you do something to one side but not the other, then it's going to cause the whole thing to be unbalanced and everything's going to go completely wrong. Now, to me in school, I got this concept. I tend to use a bit of an imagination when I'm, and you know, picturing ideas and concepts and visuals in my head when it comes to maths, and I honestly think that's the best way to do it. I mean, Albert Einstein, when he was figuring out his theory of relativity, he didn't just like write a bunch of symbols on a wall. He actually imagined himself traveling through space and riding a beam of light. I mean, that's how he came up with realizing how things change with perspective, how time must slow down the faster you're going, because otherwise, you know, if you've got a train at this near the speed of light and someone like turns on a light at one end of the train, then, you know, does that mean that the light traveling up to you combined with the speed of the train is making that beam of light travel faster than the speed of light? It's how you picture these things, and you know, you don't figure that out by just imagining symbols. You figure that out by actually imagining a train traveling at the speed of light, which would be pretty crazy, but a lot of fun. But to move back to the original thing, I came up with this idea in my head of this balance of this thing, and I realized that a lot of other people didn't quite see it in the same way. They, unfortunately, and I'm not going to point any fingers at this, it's just, well, okay, let's face it, sometimes they're just dealt with a lot of symbols and people get struck. A lot of people were just focusing on symbol manipulation. They said, okay, you've got X, and when you put one symbol on one side, you got to do this symbol and that symbol. And then instead of actually understanding the core concept, the core ideals behind algebra, they were just being told that when you've got symbols on this, you do this symbol to that symbol in that way. And then they were basically learned an ever-long sequence of rules and arbitrary things. And if they made one tiny mistake, if, for instance, they were meant to like multiply both sides by X and they put like an X there and there and there, but they didn't put an X there, then they'd genuinely just then the whole equation will be completely messed up and they continue on. Now, this isn't just about simple, you know, making a mistake in equation. I mean, I did some tutoring for kids in the when I was in Trinity for the Trinity Access program. I realized that sometimes they just didn't, even when they had it pointed out, they didn't understand what they did was wrong because they didn't understand the fundamental concepts the equation in front of them was representing. So, fast forward a bit longer, and I realize, you know, I got to do a game that actually does this. I want people to not just think of algebra as a bunch of, you know, symbols and machines and rule sets they have to continually follow. Because, of course, if they don't understand the core concepts, then they just have to memorize rule after rule after rule after rule after rule, and forgetting one of those rules screws them over. Whereas if they understand the very basic concept, then even if they forget a rule, they can figure out, okay, I forget exactly what I meant to do, but I know that it has to follow. I know that it has to follow this concept, and doing that didn't make sense. So they can sort of like figure a little out about how to move forward with it. So essentially I said, wait, what if I actually just showed them? What if I like put it out in front of them, a video game, an educational video game that would teach them this by basically having a balance right in the middle of the screen, having the unknown quantities, and the people would go, hey, of course I understand how a seesaw works. You take something from one side, but then it will make it unbalanced on the other. I mean, some people weren't even getting the concept that you had to keep it an equation balanced. They didn't even realize that unbalancing the equation is something you must avoid. So I figured if I created a game that was a little like this, then they would understand the basic, they would be able to play the game. By the way, of course, it wasn't just a case of having a bit of a gameplay. I also ensured that there was a nice little whimsical storyline which was in the game as well. Here, well, I'll play a bit of music from that just to give you an idea. Okay, so the original idea of Algebra Balance was basically an educational game that taught people by actually having algebra represented as a balance, as a seesaw in front of them, and having unknown quantities on both sides, and essentially asking the player that the object of each level is to rearrange the items and still have them balance. The idea of this would be that the actual symbols of algebra would be left for much later on in the game. Now, educational games are actually incredibly common. Even going back, a lot of Americans, for instance, recommend fondly a game called Oregon Trail that would teach them about the trials of traveling in the early days of America settling, that many families would have to get into a caravan and travel off to Oregon or some other place in the West Coast. And this, they would have to face many different trials. And Oregon Trail was one of the ideas that each of them, they'd have to had a series of trials. If they came across to a river, would they have to try to, like, wade through it? Would they try to like float the caravan across it? And no matter what happened, you could end up easily losing your food, your family, you could all die, or possibly you could end up dying of dysentery, which was one of those things that everyone just remarked about because, ha ha ha, so funny, dysentery and stuff like that. But it kind of just showed how utterly brutal this sort of thing was. And it kind of made sense, even from historical context, because a lot of people tried it and they dealt with a lot of these sort of challenges. So having a game that puts you in the position of these people just really showed you how difficult it was. But there were also a lot of other things as well. I mean, I remember playing Sonic Schoolhouse. Yes, I like Sonic enough that I wanted to try a game that I knew was bad. And I discovered it was pretty terrible because you basically had this maths problem on the board, like 1 plus 4, and then you had to like run around this school thing of all these numbers jumping around the place, get the right number, put it in. And a lot of other games like that. You see, the thing about video games is that no matter what game you play, it does teach you something. I've actually given it some thought, and I've realized there's kind of three things that a game teaches you, and it doesn't matter what game this is, it'll teach you it. The only exception, of course, is if you've played a game very similar to it before, or so therefore know most of it. I like to break it down into three categories, and this is completely unscientific. I haven't written a paper, I haven't looked it up, I haven't done any of those sort of stuff. This is just my interpretation. first up is the general physical reaction. This is kind of like the muscle memory, the trigger reflex. This is basically your reactions. So in a game like all those ore type games, you know, where you're dealing with a spaceship and all the things are coming down, that's your basic reflex of moving back, left, right, up, and hitting the shoot buttons at the right time. And I suppose it would also count in my mind of just gaining the optical skills of suddenly realizing where everything is on the board and just reacting. If, for instance, suddenly there's a pile of bullets heading towards you, your skill at actually looking for gaps in those hail of bullets will actually increase the more you play the game, because that's a vital survival skill. But it's not like you're going to think, huh, if I move there, blah, blah, blah. I think it just becomes instinctive, and it's a skill thing that you get better. Even if you got amnesia, a lot of this stuff would still be there, in my view. It's muscle memory. The second part is understanding the actual system. In terms of a game like chess, this is basically like knowing that the pawn moves forward two spaces, the knight moves in a crazy diagonal pattern that jumps over things but not quite diagonal, where the bishops actually move diagonal. In a game like, for instance, Sonic, you know that moving, pressing down and pressing the jump would make you spin dash. You'd understand what the attack pattern of each badnik. You'd understand more, get more about the layout of each level. This is basically your understanding of the system as a whole. They help you play the game, they help you understand the rules, and they help you to understand that the world that the game lives in. In a game like Pac-Man, such as knowing that getting eaten by ghosts will kill you, but grabbing a cherry will give you points, and grabbing those glowing dots will let you turn the tables. These are all concepts of the system. They're stuff you have to know to play the game well. And the third level I call is just ephemeral stuff. This is like if you're playing Halo and stuff like what the Covenant, you know, the evil aliens, what their political plans are, who exactly the Arbiter is, all the backstory. This is all the stuff that, especially in story-based game, it makes up, you know, the settings and everything and the environment that you're in. Guys play in, but it you don't actually have to learn it. You can complete the game perfectly without learning this stuff. I mean, there'll be people who really like rapidly read the wikis and the instruction manual and everything and build up stories and understand the mythology and everything, but that'll always be a subset of the game, and the people who actually play and get through it can get through it fine without really understanding all the stuff like settings, world building and stuff like that. So where does this leave us? Well, it basically leaves us in the fact that a lot of games, despite the fact there are three things you learn, I say the first category is good for instinctive. The second category, of course, of learning the system is very important because you consciously learn these things. And the third category is, well, it's nice if you can. A lot of games, however, don't really enforce the learning in any of these things. It's like they have a game that might be like Maths Blaster is a good example. You jump around these platforms and you try to get to the right number. But the problem is, it's like the skills of jumping around and moving your character. That's not a skill you actually need to get better at maths. I want to change it with Algebra Balance so that the actual skill you learn to beat each level, the very requirement of understanding the systems and getting the skill better to beat each level, the setting category, was actually something that would inherently involve learning algebra. And that's basically what I did. I had a nice little ephemeral thing. You know, the setting is a nice, cheesy cut thing about a professor's experiment suddenly going berserk and all these creatures called Bumbles flooding into the world. So you've got all these cute little creatures called Bumbles, and suddenly you've also got to and suddenly you have to return them to their home dimension by basically determining their weight by rearranging them on this balance. Okay, I'm just gonna say this out loud. It's a really stupid concept. I'm sorry. Right from the start, it was like, oh, you have to come across their balance by rearranging them on this freaking seesaw, and it's like, couldn't they put them on a weighing scale or something? And I actually came up with a version, earlier versions, I actually came up with a script that says there's all this portal is calling all these gravity variations that mean that you can't put them on a weighing scale. And that actually kind of makes sense, because the weird thing is, for instance, you know those like things where you put, you know, weights on one side of the balance and the actual object on the other side. You know, in real life, genuinely, if you went to the moon, that would give an accurate reading, and even though it's 1/6 of the gravity, because even though 1/6 of the gravity is reduced on the item you're trying to weigh, it's also reduced on the weights. But of course, that wouldn't work on a standard weighing scales, like a bathroom scales, because that works through springs. And so the actual force of the spring to maintain the balance would remain constant even on the moon. But enough of that. The point is, it's a little force, but I don't care, because the concept of any good thing, sometimes it's a little silly at first, but it's a core concept that in order to do it, you need to get this one single bumble on one side of the scales and all the others on the other, and make sure that the thing still balance. And this is what's known as making x a subject of the equation, which basically means taking one single value and see if you could see how it relates to all the other values. And it's a core concept in algebra. It's like one of the first things you learn. And I figured, you know, if I could get people to understand the mythology, the reasoning behind this, then they'd understand the basics of algebra, they'd understand the basics of balance, and they'd be able to apply it to pretty much all areas. And that's kind of what the game is based around. It's kind of surprising. I mean, I didn't actually... That was my idea coming in. The idea was largely unchanged, although there was a whole load of things. For instance, I came up with so many problems developing this game. I mean, for a start, a lot of people didn't seem to understand fully how balance works. But I mean, like, I was just... It was always just... The idea of the storyline was to just give a nice little motivation. It's kind of aimed to 8 to 12-year-olds, but I really hope that even if you're an adult and you play the game, that you won't be, you know, embarrassed to play it just because it's got kiddie creatures in it. Because the truth is, A, it's a really nice art style. It's, by the way, developed by Cavalier, who's an animation studio. I commissioned them, just like I commissioned Claire Fitch for the great music. I've got skills, but being an accomplished artist is unfortunately not one of them. Not that I haven't done no art, but definitely nowhere near this quality. I made some crude developer art earlier on just to as placeholders. But the idea was that there was this cute little story about returning them, and that would get them interested. And every set of levels, there'd be another little cutscene saying what the character's up to now, and it'd drag you along. It's all nice and cuddly, and like I said, aimed kind of 8 to 12-year-olds or kids who are learning algebra, but at the basics. But the idea is, as they play each level, they realize that there's, you know, the yin and yang. They take something away from one side of the balance, it also takes away from the other, and that gradually they learn all these little tricks and ideas and how to manipulate the equation, just like I learned when I was doing algebra. Only now they've got the concept in their head from an earlier stage. It gets a little more interesting than that, and actually, because I mean, it wasn't, while I like sound like this guy with a plan, and I think it's almost a disservice that I've done most of this show. Episode already talking about all the great ideas I had. The truth is, it was really painful to develop. I mean, when I first tried to actually beta test the game, and play testing is essential. You've got to have people playing. If you're developing a game, have people play in an early stage and see their reactions. I sit down, I watch them play the game. It's a technique I picked up when I was developing a college project, and I've used it ever since. And when I watched them play the game, I realized that a lot of them were like brute forcing it. They were just constantly replaying the level rapid succession, trying different combinations, seeing what it worked. And I realized that what I had to do in order to fix that is to actually, you know, say, actually disincentivize them against doing too much activity. But I couldn't do it. I had to be very careful about how I did it. I had to make a lot of gameplay adjustments just so I could get it right. And it took me a while just to even realize that I needed outside help as well. When I sat down to really make the game, it was kind of a bit of a go-it-alone attitude, but I've thankfully learned a lot about how much other people can help you and asking for help, and at first I tried freelancers, and then I commissioned an official studio about it to get the art. Cavalier did awesome art for this game, and they've done a lot of great animation work as well, and Claire Fitch with the music. And I've even had a lot of help just with design, with learning a bit about marketing, with learning about trying to learn a bit about other people's experience and share it. And honestly, it also got pretty hectic at a lot of stages. I mean, sometimes I was just generally dealing with it. I mean, it's easy just to code a little bit here and code a little bit there. But I mean, sometimes you got to say, wait a sec, this isn't just about programming or creating systems to get this. I had to take a step back and look at the game itself and try to figure out what sort of experience I wanted people to have. Well, I mean, boy, the development has been one heck of a trip. I mean, it's actually hard. It's hard to summarize, because a lot of the times, I mean, you want something glamorous, you want a lot of exciting stories. Well, a lot of time I went into work, I sat down, had the computer open, and then for a lot of time wasn't sure what the heck I was going to do. And then I managed to get something out, and I came up with some idea, and then sometimes it would just be like clouds of unsure self-doubt, just trying to work, and I wasn't sure what to put next, but it managed to clear. I managed to put something down, and in the end, the game has resulted. I mean, if you stick with something long enough, it finally gets off. And thankfully, this, of course, was, even at its concept, it was a 2D game, two-dimensional, with a clearly established gameplay mechanic and a fairly well-established idea behind it. So it's not like I was trying to do something like, oh dear gosh, a 3D MMO or PG, which would have involved multiplayer economy systems, class systems, network testing, entirely worlds, huge mythology. I mean, dear gosh, I'm only one guy. But there's plenty of examples of people taking on incredibly ambitious projects out there. And at least I knew from the start that this project was within my grasp. But it still took a heck of a lot more time than I thought it would. It took ages before I got it. But in the end, it was developed. And I'm just happy it's been released. It was launched on the 10th, 11th of October. I had the Minister for Education, Rory Quinn, actually take his photograph with me for the launch, which was incredibly awesome. So much thanks to him. It was really great how that managed to happen, but I was very lucky on my behalf in order to snag it, in order to have that happen in the first place. And right now, Algebra Balance by Wrongella is selling on the Apple App Market, and is available for the iPad for €4.50. So that's just a plug and desire for you all to go out there and buy it. So I think I'll leave it there. I'll finish up with the credits music, which, of course, thanks again to Claire Fitch, great Irish composer who composed it. And I'll leave it at that. So this has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening to me prattle on about making this game. I hope you, if you have anyone who's like really interested in algebra, or any kids you want to get better to algebra, or if you've got one of the many kids who is, you worry is spending too much time on their iPad, but you'd like them at least to be spending something productive with the iPad, remember the name,
Algebra Balance. Thank you, and bye.